BJ Armstrong, three-time NBA champ with the Bulls and co-host of BJ and Bucher, the podcast, joining us now. BJ, we're getting set for the Raptors and Bulls tonight, and it's a much different Bulls team than the Raptors are used to seeing. What's been the biggest change for them this season and going forward?
Well, I think what you're seeing here is a situation where they are, you know, what they call it, retooling. I'm not sure exactly what the terminology is now. I think what they're doing is they're giving their young players an opportunity to see what they have, to properly evaluate as they go forward and move forward. And it looks like they're, you know, trying to build their team with the long-term solution of, you know, building it through the draft. And they certainly have some, you know, really young players like Marketing, Denzel Valentine up there, and they got a, you know, really good player in the trade from Minnesota and Zach LaVine. So it looks like they're really taking their time with building it, taking advantage of how you build a team with a long-term solution, which is just doing it through the draft and developing those players that you do draft.
NBA agent B.J. Armstrong with us on Brady and Price. Three rings in Chicago. I know from time to time, Jerry Krause, Phil Jackson, they would tweak those teams, B.J. Never anything like we saw with what the Cavs did. As a former player, what were your observations of basically 10 players changing teams last week to maybe, just maybe, if it's LeBron James's last season, it's a real infusion of a different roster, obviously.
Well, I was just like everyone else. I was like, wow. To think that you could, you know, move. I think they moved like six players of their own from their team. Not six players that who were just on the bench. They, you know, players who were playing roles for them, starting. And seems like a very difficult task. But, you know, certainly what do we know? In game one, you know, their first game that they all came together, they looked very well. They played very well against the Celtics, and they beat the Celtics on the road at home. So, you know, LeBron James is a remarkable talent, and, you know, you got to just see how it kind of plays out. But, you know, I think they are preparing themselves for either way, whether LeBron stays or LeBron goes. They certainly will be able to move forward with their team. And again, you know, you got to prepare yourself for whatever happens. And that's going to be a big question that's going to loom over their head for the remainder of the season and well into the offseason. What is LeBron going to do? Is he staying or is he going to go?
With former three-time NBA champ B.J. Armstrong, no question, things changed with Cleveland. They have to be better. That was a terrible look that they had before they made those changes. The Celtics didn't do much. So how would you handicap the East now between Boston, Cleveland, and Toronto?
Well, you know, it's been strange. You know, you see Boston, I think they've been consistent all year. They have an injury clearly in their first game of the season with their offseason. They're one of their major offseason moves when Gordon, he goes down. Celtics, you know, I don't know how many people had them being on top of the East at the beginning of the season, and they've been very consistent. Their young players took a huge jump from a year ago. And then all of a sudden, you know, Cleveland can't get it together. They have on paper, it looked like they were the team to beat in the East, you know, LeBron and Dwayne Wade and all the moves they made and, you know, had Derrick Rose and all the players, and they just couldn't figure it out, whether it was for injuries or what have you, maybe just the wrong combination. But you know, LeBron James, you know, he continues to play, and anytime you have a major talent like that, you have to respect that. And so I would venture to say he's going to be there in the end at the conference finals. And Boston looked like they've been the most consistent team to play here in the East. So I'm going to say those two, and then we'll see what happens. You know, it's a strange year, especially in the Eastern Conference with the way they've been playing. But you can't count on LeBron James out.
With B.J. Armstrong, a former Chicago Bull, three-time champion, you talk about guys doing what they do. How about guys doing what they don't normally do? Steve Kerr let his players coach the other night, call plays. Now, is that okay? And would you be insulted if you were on the other side getting blown out and the coach isn't even coaching?
Being a champion kind of gave me a different view of the league that I didn't have when I entered into this league. And I certainly can see why some teams and a lot of people would say that's insulting. But when you coach a team and you play for a championship caliber team, you have a different mindset. And as a champion, and I don't recommend this to amateurs, I only recommend this to professionals and people who understand what I'm saying. As a champion, you realize, you come to the realization as a professional that you're only going to listen to that coach twice a year. You're going to listen at the beginning of the year when the coach tells you what are the fines, and you're going to listen to that coach at the first little meeting that you have before the playoffs. Because those years that go by, 2, 3, 4, 5 years in a row, you get tired, you get stale. There's only so much motivation you can do, you know. And then that's what forces you to become a professional is winning. Because now you realize, I don't need the motivation to play. I have the motivation as a professional. That's my job. I bring the effort and the energy every night. No coach can bring the effort and the energy for you to play. Steve Kerr, to me, you know, challenge the system. You know, Steve Kerr has an imagination, because a lot of times this league, if you see one coach do something in this league, you'll see a lot of other teams imitate that. Steve Kerr certainly is not lacking an imagination on how to get to his team. And that was the key thing that I thought he was trying to do, was to reach his team. He wasn't concerned about the other 29 teams in the league. How did he have to reach his team? Because his team has a different set of problems that are different than the other teams in this league. They're playing well into June every season for the last 3 or 4 years. So he certainly was very creative with his imagination. And the second thing I thought, which was great, which I clearly understood as a champion and a person who played in this league at a high level, is he wasn't fearful of his creativity to figure out and do what he had to do for his team to move forward. You know, his team has a different set of problems, and he was very creative. He utilizes the imagination, and he gave the players, which every coach that ever coached in this league or every player that plays, you have to be responsible for your team. And he put the responsibility back in the hands of the players. And I can't think of anything that's more special than that, because when players share that responsibility and take responsibility to the team, that means you're going to have a very good team, because they care. And you saw their players step up. I thought it was beautiful last night. I really loved it, and I understood it. I don't know if I recommend that for every team in the league, because every team isn't at that point and has their same set of problems. But a team like that, when you see a team step up, get in the huddle in front of their peers because they take responsibility of the team, what more could you ask as a coach? What more could you ask as a player when you know the guy standing next to you cares just as much as you do, not only by his words and what he's given rhetoric to in interviews, but by his actions? I thought it was a great thing. I thought it was a thing that put the game where it needs to be, in the hands of the players, with the coach obviously leading and directing them where they need to go and make a suggestion for them to win their ultimate goal, which is, you know, get back to the championship and compete for that.
So before you go, you went to Golden State right after Chicago, and it was a very different time to be a Golden State Warrior. You watch this team now, and we're talking best of all time. They compare them to some of your three Chicago Bulls teams. What was it like then? You had a lot of different personalities. That's the whole Latrell Sprewell, PJ Carlesimo confrontation. Was it a hard come down to go to somewhere where the energy wasn't the same in the building, and it was really tough to put? Scottie Pippen had this in Houston. He went with Charles Barkley. Everyone thought they'd win. They won one playoff game his first year there. It's not easy leaving a championship team and going somewhere else.
Well, you know, you play on a championship team, and you know, you play at that level and you have that mindset and you prepare your body and your mind and everything for that game. And I remember when I got traded, you know, there was a saying that Phil Jackson and Tex Winters had when I played for those guys in Chicago: winning covers a multitude of sins. And I never understood that until I went to Golden State. Is everyone has the same problems. You know, the Bulls, you know, the Warriors, the Rockets, everyone has the same problem. Except winning covers it up. And when winning covers it up, it must be okay. We had the same problems in Chicago that were in Golden State, except we didn't win. And that's what I learned about this league. You know, there's some wonderful, wonderful players here. And, you know, you certainly have one up there in Toronto with DeMar and Kyle. And those guys cover up a lot of mistakes, because you win games probably you shouldn't win. From time to time, those guys play at such a high level. And when you win, you overlook certain things. But when you lose, they get magnified. And everyone has the same problem. Everyone has injuries. Everyone has, you know, time to time, they can't make a shot. But DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, they've been a very very consistent up there with allowing you guys to play and win 50 games a year. More importantly, you've been able to compete at a high level. So, you know, winning covers a multitude of sins. I learned that lesson. I think every team in this league is trying to win. It's just that, you know what, some of the players that you take granted year in and year out, like a DeMar and these guys, you don't realize how good they are until they're gone. And so, you know, you have to savor every moment as an athlete. And you really, when you have players that are, you know, that are playing at that level, you have to really appreciate them. And that's what I learned when I got traded for the first time, is that, you know, everyone has the same problems and everyone's trying to win. It's just that some of the players, like Jordan, these guys, they're just exceptional. And when you have an exceptional talent like a Jordan or a LeBron James or Steph Curry or, you know, Russell Westbrook and these guys, you really have to appreciate it. And as an organization, you have to really take advantage to win and go for it when you have that chance.
B.J. Armstrong, three-time NBA champion, thanks for taking some time out from your day and joining us this morning.
Hey, thank you guys. All the best. Enjoy the show and keep up the good work.